Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet attained. The writer of Hebrews gives us this wonderful definition of faith. And whether it's been butchered, certain churches, or whether it's been rightly exegeted, there's a very popular phrase in the church today. It was maybe even more popular when I was growing up. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet attained. But if you've ever actually sat down and thought about this particular phrase, this particular definition of faith, it tells us something actually troubling about faith. Namely, that faith is inherently or seemingly inherently evasive. Faith is the substance of something that you don't have yet. It's the evidence of something that you have not yet acquired. And for that reason, it can always feel evasive. We can fight hard to believe God for certain things. Yeah. We can fight hard to believe God on what He has already done. Yeah. And as we sit here and we hear the definition of faith itself is a definition that says faith itself is about that which can't be seen, it can for some of us be discouraging. Yeah. Yeah. Feel like, yo, God, you want me to believe, you want me to trust, you want me to have faith, but you won't put anything in front of me. And I have to believe in that which I can't see. I have to hold on to that which I can't touch. How in the world can I be a faithful human being when faith itself feels evasive? Yeah. Not only does it feel evasive, but because of that text, it's also inherently progressive. It's about something out there. So we will never actually find the goal and the result of our faith until, as First Peter says, Jesus Christ is ultimately revealed when he finally returns. So for that reason, we on this journey with Jesus Christ go from faith to faith. Yeah. Yeah. This text here, I hope, is an encouragement. While it can feel discouraging that faith is progressive and seemingly evasive, this text of scripture, I hope, works like the Psalms, where, as Athanasius says, most of the scripture speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us. Mm. I pray that Genesis chapter 15 would speak for you today. Mm. That you would see yourself in the text. That you would see yourself in these stages of faith. And that you would ask yourself the hard question, which stage am I stuck in? There are five different stages that we will see in Abram's life in this brief pericope, and then I'm quickly out of your way. And the first stage is something that seems paradoxical to this idea of faith, but we know that although it feels paradoxical, it's actually very experiential. And that first stage is confusion. Confusion. Before we really hold on to the words of God or the acts of God or the promises of God or the work of God, even in the Lord Jesus Christ, think about when you were first converted. The first thing that happens is not a full on embrace. The first thing that happens is that you're confused. It don't make sense. What's being said? Hello, you've never heard before. If you had heard it before, it would actually be easy to embrace. Yeah. But because it's the first time you've ever heard this, the first stage you enter into is confusion. I remember when my wife and I conceived Aaron, and we went through this stage of confusion. You know, there are a few stages in pregnancy as well, right? Mm-hmm. And that first stage was one of confusion. She was late. And just to be transparent before all of New Creation Fellowship, this is not new to our story. We've shared this a lot. We conceived Aaron before we were married. So we were not only confused, but we were concerned. wife had just come to Christ a year before. And to be honest, we hadn't touched each other in over a year. We went from sin to purity overnight. God literally snapped his fingers. Didn't hold hands. She can nod her head and say amen. We didn't hug each other. She can nod her head and say amen. We said boundaries upon boundaries, didn't kiss. I embraced other sisters in the church with a church hug before my now wife. But on that fateful day, my birthday, actually, I decided to break boundaries. Side note, if you want to maintain your purity, single folk, hold on to those boundaries. Or as Paul said, get married when the fire is burning. Back into the text. So I found myself not only confused, but I was also concerned. And not only is she late, then she takes a pregnancy test, and the first one comes back negative. We're like, all right, we in the clear. Still late though. Takes another one, it comes back positive. Are we pregnant? Then we go into the doctors, and they say, oh, definitely you're pregnant. Okay, cool. We feel that. But life is going on, and we're really not experiencing nothing. She didn't have, like some sisters would have, an insane amount of, what do you call it? Like sickness? Morning sickness. There you go. She didn't have all of that. So she was, and I was, confused. And then we went to the doctors, and they allowed for us to hear the heartbeat, and it helped us through our confusion. But before we heard that heartbeat, it was a constant back and forth of confusion. Is what we think happened actually something that has actually happened? I share that to say, just like that first stage of pregnancy is nothing more than confusion, that first stage of faith is nothing more than confusion. And if you don't get that, you yourself will be confused on why you're confused. As God calls you to something new, even if you don't know Jesus Christ today, you yourself will be confused on why you're confused. But I want to set you free that your confusion is actually normal. Yeah. First stage, verse 1-3, notice how this normalcy hits even the father of faith, Abram himself. Verse 1, it says, after these things, you can stop there. What are the things that has happened before this point? Yeah. Abram has just met that triple threat king. You know, the king that was pure, that was peaceful, and that was priestly from last week, named Melchizedek, as a picture and a portrait of the King of Kings to come, Jesus Christ himself. What was that after? That was after Abram just experienced a victory that he never could have brought about on his own. What was that after? That was after Abram decided to settle in the place of God's presence over the place of present prosperity. What was that after? It was after he and his own family, his own blood, separated due not to failure, but due to their success. What was that after? That was after Abram had to walk the walk of shame, returning to the altar where his life was altered because he had run from faith into fear. So after these things, after all of that, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with somebody and been like, the word of Ike came. No, we talked. He said this. I said that. But the Bible is going through great lengths to almost, in some kind of way, personify the word of God. As though the word of God has legs to come to somebody and to travel to somebody. The word of the Lord came after these things. Now, I want to just say these things include the promise that initiated the whole altering of Abram's life in the first place. And if you remember the first message in Genesis 12, where the promise is given to Abram What was he promised, church? To be a great nation, to receive a great name, and to be a conduit of great blessing to all of the nations. The first, though, is that he will be made into a great nation. Now, I don't know if you know science, but in order to be a great nation, in order to be a tribe of tribes, in order to be a family of families, you got to start with at least one seed.
Right.
Yeah.
Abram has not yet experienced that one seed. And yet, God's promise is clear. You will become a nation.
Yeah.
Just want to make that clear. After those things, notice the text. The text says, fear not, Abram. Do you notice that every time God shows up, he has to tell people not to be afraid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very different than our cultural context where God's like your homie. I remember, never forget this, in a church, a real church. It was a supposedly trying to put about a revival night at a specific church, and it was for youth. So we were going in that first night. I'll never forget. I was like 18 years old, just jumping around for Jesus, going in. And then the next night, the person who was leading worship was trying to force the Spirit to do the same thing he had done the night before. And it wasn't, the Spirit wasn't moving like he was moving the night before. So in him trying to force it, he's trying to say all these things to try to get the youth to really get it. And then finally he says, yo, Jesus is your full show nigga.
Well, okay.
Bro rap. And I took a step back. I was like, I'm 18. I ain't no Bible scholar. I ain't going to school at that time. I don't really know what I'm talking about. But one thing I do know is that he ain't no faux show N-word anything. He is my Savior and he's my Master and Lord. I follow him and he gets to call me friend. That's a privilege for me, not for him. So when he said this, everybody was shocked. But what had happened to that man? He had gotten so comfortable with Jesus that he had lost the sacredness of Christ. We actually need to read the Old Testament a little bit more so we can encounter, here's that word again, fear all over again. Anybody went to a Pentecostal church and you heard the gospel this way? You're a sinner. Everybody is. If you die today, you're going to hell forever. And you will burn and be tormented for all time. But God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins so that you might go to heaven with him. Now, I'm not saying it's the greatest gospel presentation in the world, but I'll tell you one thing. This guy, I'm a little smart. You know, I graduated an engineering degree. I was smart enough to know if I have options, I kind of don't want hell. And what they did is they instilled, even before I truly gave my life to Christ, a healthy fear of God in me. But when God shows up, knowing that we should rightly fear him, he then gives us the comfort, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Isn't that good, yo?
Wow.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And he doesn't just say the words, don't be afraid, because you know, that'll happen even as a parent. I'll tell my kids, don't be afraid. But I don't got reasons for it. There'll be some times where daddy's scared too. I'm just saying, don't be afraid, because I don't want a whole house panicked. But ain't it good that God gives reasons not to be afraid?
Yeah.
What are the reasons, text? I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Now, in Hebrew, I want to show you something. This is beautiful. Slow down. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. The word shall be, or the words shall be, actually don't show up in Hebrew. So you gotta read the text one more time. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward very great. The English don't make sense to us, so it should be translated like this. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward. God is actually saying that I am the reward and the shield.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
I am, and hear me on this, there's a nuance here. He is not simply saying that I shield you and I reward you, but rather he is saying I am your shield identity and I am your reward identity. There's a difference between saying I am your protector and your provider. That's one statement. But what God is saying, I'm your protection and your provision.
Wow. Yeah. That's good.
You get that?
Yeah.
God could say, I'm your savior and I'm your supplier. But what actually God is saying is that I'm your salvation and I'm actually the supply you're looking for. God could say, I am your guardian and I'm your giver. But what he's actually saying is that I'm your guard and I'm the actual gift.
Wow. Ooh. That's good.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was two young girls in elementary school, Destiny and Mariah Wilder. This was about 15 years ago. And they went to school. It was a normal day of school, right before there was Christmas break for all of the students. And so they actually go to school, like, and they think it's a normal day, and they show up to school, and there's this assembly in the entire school. So all the stools, the students in the entire school are brought into this assembly, and smack dab in the middle of the assembly, in the middle of the floor, is this massive box that has been gift wrapped in Christmas decor. So they all go in and everybody's like, what is this? What is this? Who is this Christmas gift for? Who is this Christmas gift for? Who is this Christmas gift for? To which the principal says, it's actually for two special students today, Mariah and Destiny Wilder. So they go down and they begin to unwrap this massive box just like any kid would. And they're excited about what's inside of it. And lo and behold, the box begins to move because out comes their father who had been deployed to Iraq for over a year.
Wow.
And they begin to sob as they held their dad. And the father's crying and the daughters are crying and everybody around is crying. And I look at that text and I say, is that not a picture of what God is doing in this passage?
Wow.
Her father was her shield as he went to the front lines of Iraq to protect her.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And then he came back from Iraq, gift wrapped, to be her very great reward.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is one of those places where I'm like, I don't think that we know how to celebrate the presence of God because we actually don't believe that the presence of God is the greatest present we can ever receive.
Wow.
Kids ain't care about no toys that Christmas. They ain't care about no trip to Disney. They cared about nothing that came in a box other than their father breaking out of that box and saying, Daddy's home. But here's the beautiful reality of the believer in Jesus Christ. Our father, our daddy, he never gets deployed. He's always here. So do we take advantage of his presence or do we take for granted his presence? Because it's only in his presence that we actually get our protection and our provision, our guard and our gift. He is the thing that we've been looking for.
Yeah.
So after he says all of this, you would think Abram good, right? He should be set like, okay, you are my gift. You are everything I've been looking for. I've already moved from faith to fear. I get it. You are what I've been hoping for all of my life. But here comes the father of faith. Verse 2. But Abram said, Oh Lord God, what will you give me? Wow. We just said that God is the gift.
Right. Wow.
Oh Lord God, what will you give me? Just say, God is the gift. Is this not our hearts? Oh Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram's desire is a good desire, y'all. Yeah. It was a very good desire. He wanted his heir to be somebody from his own heritage. Yeah. It is a good desire. There's nothing wrong with his desire. The problem is he's still missing the point. He's still looking for gift when God already proved that I am your great reward.
Yeah.
But I also want you to notice this, that Abram is in this place, though he becomes the father of faith. Here's the word, confused.
Yeah.
He's confused. Abram has already been promised that he's going to become a great nation. Therefore, he has to have a child. And yet he's sitting in this point, getting a word from the Lord, and he's saying, what will you give me? Because I don't have a child. And not only that, my heir will be Eliezer. In other words, Abram has already concluded that God was not going to actually fulfill his promise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Confusion. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know something about the words of God. The words of God are clear, but Abram's still confused. We oftentimes blame God for confusion, and sometimes God has spoken clearly.
Yeah.
But we're still confused.
Come on, that's a word.
Why? Because although God's words are intelligible, the concept is incomprehensible.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to play Mario, and my brother had played the game long before me, so he would tell me how to move on to the next stage. In order to move on to the next stage, you have to beat the boss. And I would run up into these bosses, and they throwing all types of fireballs at you and all of that. So I'm trying to throw fireballs back, and it's doing nothing. He said, no. You have to jump on them 3 times. I know what the word jump means. I know the number 3. Though the words are intelligible, the concept is incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you were explained what hail is? Not H-E-L-L, but H-A-I-L, hail.
Yeah.
And somebody explained to you, oh yeah, hail is ice falling from the sky in the middle of summer. Uh-huh. I know what ice is. I know what summertime is. But I just can't quite understand how those two things can happen at the same time.
Right.
The words are intelligible, but the concept is incomprehensible.
Right.
How about this time when, maybe this didn't happen to you, you grew up eating bologna?
Yeah.
I can go 2 ways with this, but I'm gonna just hold off on that one. I don't want nobody to just stop eating bologna because what else I gotta say? But you grew up eating bologna, and then you saw the word bologna. I know the letters. B-O-L-O-G-N-A. But I can't figure out how that says bologna.
Right.
The word, intelligible. Concept, incomprehensible. There are often times in our life where God will give us a word from Scripture, and we understand the words, but we can't wrap our minds around how it could be possible.
Right. Yeah.
Think about when Sarai heard the word that she's going to have a child, and she's 90 years old.
Right.
I know the word pregnant. I know the word child. The words are intelligible, but the concept is incomprehensible. Think about Jesus. He told the disciples, hey, just so y'all know, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I am. Be rejected. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I will be buried. And on the third day, I'm going to rise.
Yeah.
And I don't know if your Bibles read like mine. And the text says, and the disciples were confused.
Right.
Are they confused because they don't understand the words die, rejection, even the word rise, be alive again? It's not that the words are unintelligible. It's that the concept is incomprehensible. Many times we are confused in this stage of faith, not because what God is saying is not clear, but because the concept itself we can't conceive of. Are you stuck right now in the stage of faith called confusion? If you are, I believe God wants you to break free today. And move to this next stage, conviction.
Yeah.
Notice the text. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. I love the hilarity of scripture. You're like, go outside. You talking about an heir. I want to actually point you to the heir. So go outside and look at air and look at the stuff in the air. And if you can number what's in the air, you can actually number the amount of descendants you will have. So Abram does this. And then notice the text, verse 6. And he believed Yahweh and he counted it to him as righteousness.
Wow.
Whenever, we're playing games at the crib. Let's just go back to Monopoly for a second. We'll be playing Monopoly. And I'm one of those people where, like, when I know for a fact, like, I know all of what I'm about to do on my next turn. And I know how I'm going to get this person to, you know, come around the street corner and, you know, all of that. When I know what's about to happen, I get really excited and I start rolling fast. And I start to roll out of turn. And every time I roll out of turn, they'll say, nah, that don't count. Because I rolled on a turn that wasn't mine. So no matter what the quality of my roll was, the quality has been disqualified. I just want you to know that God does the reverse through faith. See, when you're disqualified, you can put forth quality, and the quality you put forth actually gets disqualified. But through faith, when God qualifies you, though you have actually been in a deficit, though you have actually not put forth the right kind of effort, though there's nothing you put forth that is of quality, God said, I'll take your non-quality and make it quality.
Wow.
Yeah.
In other words, God comes to Abram and says, yo, I want to be your accountant. He says, Abram, you sin because of your fear of man. And in your sinning, you actually hurt my daughter. Sin upon sin, and the scripture talks about that as a debt. So Abram is in a great debt, and he needs a really good accountant. So God says, I'll be your accountant. And what I'll do for you is set up for you a trust fund. That as you trust in me, I will fund righteousness into your account to overcome the debt that you owe because of your doubts.
Wow.
There is no other accountant on earth that you will find that will be able to set up that kind of a trust fund for you. So when we are in a deficit because of our disobedience, let's not try to earn our wages and deposit into our own account, because that will only incur more debt. Let's turn to a better accountant who has set up a trust fund so that as we trust in him, he will fund righteousness into our account.
Yeah, that's good.
Conviction. Have you made it to the stage of conviction yet?
Yeah.
But the next stage is one that is, ironically, confusing. Because he's already moved from confusion to conviction, but now it will seem that he moves back to confusion. This next stage is a stage I would like to call clarification. Anybody ever been there before?
Yes.
You confused? You believe? But then you like, but like, one more time though. I just a little, anybody ever been there? I'm the only one who has been there. Notice the text. And it's so beautiful. This is all in the Bible. I don't have to preach this topically. Verse 7. And he said to him, I am Yahweh who brought you out from earth. Has God ever spoken to you like this? Had to remind you of what he's done in the past so you believe him for the future? I am Yahweh who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. That should be a done deal. Yeah, you're right. You did bring me out of some stuff, yo. And you, yo, for real, you brought me out of Egypt even when I made that decision on my own.
Right.
And my wife is still here with me.
Right.
And she's still my wife, too. That's crazy. After all I did to her. Wow. Yeah, you got it, God.
Yeah.
Right? And he's the father of faith? Not Abram. But he said, anybody just get like ringings of Peter in this? But he said, oh Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? In other words, this is that stage where me and Britt knew we were pregnant, but then we was like, yo, we got to hear a heartbeat and we're going to need a sonogram too. We just got to make sure before we go tell our parents because we don't want to accidentally tell our parents we conceived at this time. No accidents. This got to be real, real. Abram's like, can I see a sonogram? Can you give me some kind of forepicture, foresight? To be able to know what kind of birth is to come.
Yeah. Santo.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Where you were confused? And God gave you a real conviction. And you were running around to your believing friends and said, I know God said this to me. I was supposed to move to Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
To be a part of this crazy old church, New Creation Fellowship.
Yeah.
I was supposed to move to this city. And everything started going wrong.
Right.
Nothing seems to line up.
Right.
Jobs don't line up.
Right.
Friends don't line up.
Wow.
Relationships I left don't line up.
Right.
But I had such conviction from God Almighty that I ran around telling my friends, but I know he's called me. I know he's called me. I know he's called me. And then you find yourself here and everything's going wrong. And you're like, one more time, God.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I believe you said this. I ain't even going against you. I'm not confused. I am clear. But I need further clarification.
Yeah.
Just so my heart can be settled.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Check this. Being there is awesome. Why? Because we can all, here's the word, relate to one another.
Yeah.
But what God does in response is amazing. Because it displays the humility of our God.
Wow.
Do you know how I respond? Real rap, I'm a parent. I tell Jonathan this all the time. I did it yesterday. But I expect when they were real young and they, I used to, Hadassah would scream like she done if she need to eat. And that wasn't nothing compared to this joker. That's why he the biggest one we've ever had. He could eat. Every time he got hungry, I need it. And I just want to say to him, she fed you last night. You did not starve to, you think we're going to starve you, my guy?
Wow.
My response is impatience. To say your clarity is our history.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
Do you know that God can tell each and every one of us your clarity is our history?
Come on.
Wow.
Just do it.
Preach.
But in God's kindness.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
God says, okay, I got you.
Wow.
And he moves Abram to the next stage. And I want to tell you this. This is where y'all might not shout as loud. in order to move to the final stage, which is confirmation, he has to go through this next stage. God is like, yo, you know what? I will confirm it for you. Isn't that kind?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah.
It's still good, right?
Yeah.
Y'all still ready to shout for that, right?
Yeah.
But before he can give him confirmation, Abram first has to comply.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Many of us are seeking confirmation before we've actually complied with obedience.
Come on.
So you're like, God, show me. And he's like, do this.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Because in your doing, I will show you.
Wow, God, you are merciful.
Yeah.
Wow.
But Abram's like, okay, what I got to do?
Jesus.
So God tells him, and I want, please, look at the text. This ain't light where we can read too quickly past this stuff and think, oh yeah, that's simple. Verse 9. He said to him, bring me a heifer, 3 years old. It's a cow, by the way. A female goat, 3 years old. This is valuable stuff. Oh, and by the way, a ram, 3 years old. I ain't done, no. A turtle dove and a pigeon. And he brought him all of these. Say all.
All.
He brought him all these. Say all.
All.
He brought him all these. Say all.
All.
So Abram's compliance was a full compliance.
Yeah.
This was not halfway obedience looking for full confirmation.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is full compliance looking for full confirmation. Some of us are giving 25% obedience and wanting 100% answers.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. Jesus.
Ooh. Preach.
Jesus. Wow, Lord.
And God is saying, yo, I want all. Say all.
All.
So he brought him all of these.
Yeah.
And then notice the text. And I love this. And he brought him all these. Here's the sacrifice. And he cut them in half. And laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, trying to eat up his sacrifice, Abram drove them away. I want you to notice that compliance is inherently sacrificial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of us want to obey God, but we don't want it to cause nothing.
Oh, wow.
We like that free obedience, don't we?
Yep.
That stuff that it don't cause nothing. Honestly, this is why certain churches fill up quickly.
Yep.
Because the obedience they're calling you to is stuff that you probably would do anyway.
Wow.
Like, if a boss tells you, come in at 6 a.m., and that's all he says, who's coming in at 6 a.m.? I saw two hands. Just discipline people. If a boss tells you come in at 6 a.m. and you will get your salary, who's coming in? Hands go up. If a boss tells you the normal work hours are 8 a.m., but if you come in at 6 a.m., I will give you an annual $20,000 bonus. Who's coming in? See, we are willing to go the further length in obedience when we know the result on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But can I say this, y'all?
Wow.
What happens when you don't know what's on the other side?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Preach. What happens? The only reason you will ever come in at 6 a.m. at that point is due to relationship. So God requires all of this of Abram. And Abram's like, I still ain't got what I asked for. But because of our relationship,
wow.
I will comply. And by the way, this ain't light work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going back to Mario, I don't know if y'all seen like the new one. Peach is trying to prepare Mario for this battle he's going to have with Bowser. And she take him on all these little, you know, obstacle course and all of this. And he tries to do it on his own strength. And then she's like, no, you can't do it like that. You got to eat the mushroom. Now, Mario hates mushrooms. So he's trying to swallow the mushroom, and he's vomiting as he's swallowing it. And he finally gets to the point where he's able to stomach that which he's allergic to in order that he might power up to be able to finally defeat Bowser. I just want you to know, our flesh is allergic to obedience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
So we will have to swallow a humility pill.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Something that we're allergic to. But it's only in so doing that we will power up in order to overcome that which has been entangling us for so long. We're trying to get free with no power. And we're trying to get power with no compliance. And God says the only way is you do that which your flesh is allergic to. Swallow this humility pill and comply with what I've called you to. Man, my wife had to do so much stuff during pregnancy with our firstborn son. Eating pills she never had to eat before. Diet had to change. Anybody's ever been pregnant before? You know, you got these food cravings. For her, it was like chocolate and steak. For no reason. I don't even know where this came from. Just chocolate all the time and steak. Not the best diet. So she had to include other things because she's not eating for just one, right? So she had to comply with what the doctor said. All the way up to the point of labor, she had to comply with what he was saying. Push now. Take a break. Push again. Take a break. Oh, you're going to take a little break. A longer break. You got to get ready. This is that final push. I'm going to have you put all of your effort into this. She's grabbing my arm, squeezing, taking off skin. Because what? She's complying with the voice of the one who knows best.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah. Come on. Let's go there.
Guys, we're so selfish when we hear messages like this, recap included, that you think I'm sharing this with you from the Spirit of God because I'm thinking about you. Remember, she was eating for someone else. Her compliance was not just affecting her, but it was affecting her child. Your obedience and compliance with God don't just affect you. It affects everyone around you and everybody under your jurisdiction. So when you don't obey, it's not just that you don't see the confirmation of the Lord. Those around you don't get a chance to experience it either.
Wow.
Compliance. Mm. Are you stuck in this stage today? Mm. I believe God wants to unstuck you from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that we can all move to this final stage. Confirmation. Mm. Notice the text. It says, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. Again, with the vision, now he's in a deep sleep. Can I just say as a side note, stop. We believe in dreams and visions here. I just want to say that. Why? Because the Bible talks about it. And I know we come from some of us from some backgrounds where it's like, that's weird. God don't talk. Like, you know, like all of it. Guys, whole nations are being saved through visions of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
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 Amen. This is why Pastor Ike and that table right there always, like almost Sunday in, Sunday out, will point us to Voice of the Martyrs. Why? Because it's helpful to get our eyes off of our own nation and get it on another nation where they have to go through a lot more to hold to the name of Jesus. And guess what? Many people written in the Voice of the Martyrs, they had their encounter with Christ through a vision.
Amen.
I mean, this stuff is crazy. Like, Jesus just showing up in people's dreams.
Wow.
Never knew Jesus. Never knew about Jesus. They just trying to have a peaceful sleep as a Muslim. And then they fall asleep and they look up and there's one as bright as the sun.
Mm.
Amen. Beaming in front of them. They're like, who are you? And just as the Lord said to Paul, I am Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And people are coming to Christ, waking up, saying, I think I just encountered somebody, and he told me exactly where to go. And then Jesus won't just stop at who he is. He'll tell them directions on where to go to find a church, and that church will have a Bible ready made for them.
Wow.
Don't you know that our Savior don't just save people, he also disciples in the process?
Amen.
Yeah, guys, I'm not lying. Go look it up. Scientists are trying to figure out this concept. They understand the words, but the concept is incomprehensible. How are Muslims who never heard the name of Jesus come into faith in Christ? I can tell you how. He can show up even in your dreams. So a deep sleep comes over him. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. It ain't always sweet, y'all. Verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain. Don't you love God's assurance? Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there. And they will be afflicted for 400 years. What a prophecy. Like, all right, here we go. Confirmation. Here we go. Just so you know, the people I told you, you know, stars in the sky, yeah, they're going to be slaves for a long time. Once again, just hear the text. God's word to you ain't always the nice one. And if the only words you receive are nice words, it is probably because you are hearing false teachings and false leadings, not the truth of the scripture. Sometimes the best word we need to hear is something that just don't sound right. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, we can know, yeah, that's probably God. Yeah. I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart, yo. I remember when I was growing up, I got introduced to two things very early. And maybe this is for somebody. I don't even know why the Lord has me here right now. I really don't. I got introduced to two things that changed the course of my life. Pornography and marijuana, really early on. And I remember with both of those things, I struggled when I became a believer at 14. And part of my struggle was my flesh is allergic to obedience.
Yeah.
But part of my problem is I had believers in Jesus Christ tell me that both of those things were okay. Where does it say marijuana is a sin? Where does it say you can't watch this? So my flesh is already allergic to obedience. And now I hear the words of other believers in Jesus Christ who supposedly have the Spirit of Christ in them. And they set me free right back into slavery. Why? Because I really wanted to hear the nice word over the hard one.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know, oftentimes when God speaks, it does not tickle our flesh.
Right.
But it rejuvenates the soul.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
As for you, verse 15, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Only God can exact righteous vengeance like this. Verse 17. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, this is out of nowhere, passed between these pieces. On that day, I need you to hear the language of text. If you don't hear nothing else, please see the wording of the text. On that day, notice the text. On that day, notice the text. On that day, notice the text. It does not say Abram and Yahweh made a covenant together.
Wow.
This was not a covenant of mutuality. It says Yahweh made a covenant with Abram. saying, to your offspring I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. In other words, it's Jay-Z's second song, Blueprint in 2001, rightly says this was a takeover. This was a full-on takeover. And it began with a covenant. I want you to notice how God made this covenant. And this is really powerful. He made the covenant not how you would normally see covenants made, because covenants were made in different ways. And even at this time, people would sign contracts or covenants. But can I say this, y'all? God don't sign covenants and contracts like we do. He sent fire out of nowhere, just plut out. And fire burst through the sacrifice. And that would be odd and strange if it wasn't for the Genesis 1 God.
Yeah.
For we know that if he can say all things and all things exist, surely he can send fire and fire come. I'll never forget, my wife has what you would call precipitous labor. Fancy word to say, as soon as she starts labor, we gotta run to the hospital. because when you have precipitous labor, you have a child very fast. So my first son, Aaron, I'll never forget, my wife had Aaron. We go to the hospital. We was in the hood, by the way. So we pull up to the hospital. We in the middle of Philadelphia. Hospital don't even exist no more. We had Aaron. So we pull up, and I'm like, oh my goodness, my wife is in labor. And so in my excitement, I just parked the car in a normal spot on the street, parallel park that joint, and we walked to the hospital. Well, that was a spot that had a time limit on it, and in Philadelphia, they do not ticket you, they tow you. So, we're excited. Get our firstborn son, by the way, never makes it to the pregnancy delivery room, only has him in the triage. And so, I remember having him, we're excited, I come back, and I don't have a car. So we literally walk out of the hospital with no place to put our firstborn son. True story. I said, next time, I'm prepared. This will not happen. So we get pregnant with Zipporah. And I said, never again will they get me. So I drive my wife off in front of the hospital so she can walk in on her own. I know all the steps now. And then I go and I park my car in the parking garage, pay my parking garage fee, and then I come to... And my wife has already had Zipporah in the ER. In the time it took for me to drop off her at the car and to park my car, she already had Zipporah, so I didn't make her. So finally, I was like, I'm catching on. And by the time we had Jonathan and Dasa, I was able to make it, y'all. Praise God. But my wife never was able to take an epidural because of her precipitous labor. And she had all four births naturally. And she said all of it was hard. All of it was painful. I was even asking her in preparation for this, can you describe the pain? She was like, it's a pain I can never explain to you because it's a pain only associated with labor.
Yeah.
Like I can't even describe what my body was going through in that moment. And I said, what was the worst part? She said the worst part was what they would call the ring of fire. And this is when the head burst forth through the womb. And at that point, it's like your whole body is screaming out loud at you to stop. But you have to keep going.
Yeah.
She says, every time, we got four kids now. So every single time, she thought her job was done after the ring of fire. They always would say, we need one more push. Because you got to get the rest of the body out because the ring of fire was just getting that big old rocky head out there. One more push, and you get the whole body out. And her job was done. Do you know that never, ever, ever with any of our children did my wife remember the ring of fire once the child was born? She wasn't sitting there pondering the pain. Think about all the pain in my life. I got small pains from hooping. Like, remember last week I broke my ankle? I gotta be careful this time. None of those thoughts came because the beauty of what was born was so far greater. Yeah. Here, Abram is in this particular point, and he's asking for confirmation, and he's seeking confirmation for God to birth in him something new. And God sends a ring of fire as a confirmation point that from now on your life is about to change.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is beautiful. This is amazing. But for God, it is normal. Because God never signs a covenant with ink. He always signs his covenants with blood and fire.
Wow. Yeah.
Can I just say something about the covenants of God? His covenants are written very different than ours. Just imagine a piece of paper, massive piece of paper. And you know, normal contract, you got party one and you got party two. Party one signs their name, party two signs their name. And the content of the contract, hear me, is all stuff that benefits both parties. God says, nah. So he writes his own covenant. And in the content of the covenant is only stuff that benefits us.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
But instead of making us sign at the bottom,
Yeah.
God says, party one, Yahweh, party two, Yahweh.
Right.
And he signs his own name on both sides of the covenant.
Right.
So that when God makes a covenant with you, he's really making the covenant with himself.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's so good.
And if you don't believe me, John says that this very picture already happened 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Come on. Long after Abram came.
Let's go.
Guess what happened? John says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, thank you, Genesis 15, the Word of the Lord came. Not to a person, but to all of humanity.
Wow.
And as the Word of the Lord came, the darkness did not comprehend it.
Wow.
So good.
Though Jesus was intelligible,
yeah,
his concepts were incomprehensible.
Wow. Yeah.
So there was a state of confusion around Jesus. That's okay. Because Jesus, the faithful one himself, always lived with conviction.
Yeah.
For he always did that which pleases the Father. But even though he lived his whole life with conviction, from the time he was a young baby all the way into his adult life, healing the sick, raising the dead, as his day is coming and his hour to die has come, he is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he seeks clarification. He says, if there is any way, please let this cup pass from me. If there's any way, please let this cup pass from me. If there's some other way that redemption can happen and the whole world can be saved, let this cup pass. But it's almost as though as soon as Jesus asked for clarification, he then himself offers compliance. But not my will, but your will be done. And then Christ complies, but not just simply saying your will be done, but he was tried, arrested, beaten, mocked, scorned. He was beaten to such a degree that he could not even carry his own cross, but he still had to get upon it. He was nailed in one hand. He was nailed in another hand. He was nailed in his feet. He suffered. And the Lord Jesus Christ complied to the point of death, death on a cross.
Yeah.
And he was buried in a tomb, stuck in a stage of death for one day. He's buried in a tomb, stuck in a stage of death for another day. But then early Sunday morning, our Savior unstuck himself. It's interesting that Mario, you have to jump on the boss three times. And so our Savior was dead for 3 days. And as Mario recognized, he had to eat something that he was allergic to. So the author of life, Hebrews says, has to taste of death. And his body, though allergic to it, has to taste of death. And he has to swallow death whole so that as he comes out of the grave and unsticks himself from death, he comes out empowered to power us up with the life that is naturally his. But it cost him everything. This was a heavy battle. Our head of the church had to go through the ring of fire. But as our head burst not from the womb, but through the tomb, we can have confidence that whether we are stuck in confusion, stuck in conviction that's only internal and never makes its way external, stuck in clarification, or we are stuck, hear me, stuck wrestling with compliance, we can know that our confirmation has already come in the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty.
Yes. Yeah.
So that the saints of God can say in the kingdom of God, because of Christ, Jesus is the substance of everything we could have ever hoped for.
Yeah.
And he is the evidence of all that we have yet to attain. Amen. Amen.